From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to continue our studies in Colossians chapter 1. We are now coming to the 13th verse. And the subject of this week's study is From the Dominion of Darkness to the Liberty of the Lordship of Christ. That's the subject on which we intend to let the Bible speak this week, and I trust it will speak to your heart and be a blessing to your soul. Before we turn to the message for the day, we start with our daily devotional, which today is taken from Proverbs 27, verse 1, on the subject, Today and Tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boasting of tomorrow is evil, it's arrogant, and it is presumptuous. James 4:13 says, Go to, ye that say, Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. How certain all is to such traders. They calculate on the future with unhesitating confidence. They plan as if everything were at their disposal. They pride themselves in the certainty of their gain. But theirs is the language of folly. We know not what a day may bring forth. They plan for a whole year when they cannot even see one day ahead. How frail is our hold on this world? Shall they go to such a city? What if health and strength flee? Can no accident befall them? Shall they buy and sell and get gain? Do prices never fluctuate? Do markets never collapse? Above all, they have no thought of God or of His providence in all such scheming. Thomas A. Kempis said, Man proposes, but God disposes. If you're a believer, make sure you're never guilty of making your plans without the Lord. Be careful to commit your ways to Him who is Lord of all. As Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Consciously recognize and bow in lowly submission to His providence. James 4, verse 15 says, Ye ought to say, If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Thomas Fuller was convicted about the practice of placing the words God willing in parentheses as if they were not essential to the sentence. Hereafter, he said, I will write these words freely and fairly without any enclosure about them. Let critics censure it for bad grammar. I am sure it is good divinity. In similar spirit, the child of God ought to live each day as if it were his last. Opportunities missed today may be lost forever. Believer, today, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Our thought for the day is from William Secker. One today is worth two tomorrows.
Oh,
Many of you have already asked for our quarterly magazine, and have, I trust, been enjoying reading it. The latest issue of the Let the Bible Speak quarterly deals with the subject of the cross of Christ, and that should make it an issue that is of interest to all of God's people. If you haven't yet joined our readership, I encourage you to do so. It's easy. All you have to do is call or write, either by conventional mail or by email, and we'll ship the magazine off to you. There's no cost to you at all, and no strings attached. We know that almost any time you order anything from most Christian ministries, you're likely to receive endless streams of begging letters. That will not happen when you write or call Let the Bible Speak. So make sure you get in our mailing list for the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you and being able to send you our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine.
There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame hath brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. The depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me, when I knew him not he sought me. And in love divine he ransomed me. Take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me.
Continuing our studies in Colossians chapter 1, we come now to the 13th verse, which is a text dealing with the mighty deliverance which the Lord effects in the lives of his redeemed people. We are without strength, without power, and we are in great need. The truth that I want to present from verse 13 is that God our Father has brought his people from the dark dominion of the devil into the glorious liberty of Christ's Lordship. So that's our theme. Let's now open the Scriptures to Colossians 1, verse 13, as we let the Bible speak. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to commence reading at verse 9, and read through the end of the 14th verse. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to commence reading at the 9th verse. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power,
unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. For some weeks we have been looking at some great truths that the Apostle Paul sets before us in the opening chapter of Colossians. We come this morning to look at verse 13. You will see immediately that the 13th and 14th verses are very, very closely related. They contain two powerful descriptions of God's saving action in the lives of his people. Verse 13 speaks of deliverance from Satan's darkness into Christ's kingdom. Verse 14 speaks of redemption through Christ's blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And the way the apostle has been inspired to write this, the 14th verse flows immediately out of the 13th. In many ways, it is a further exposition of the 13th verse. So I say these two stand very closely related. But though they are so closely related, and one explaining the other, yet the peculiar emphasis of each of these two verses demands that we treat them separately. And so this morning I want us to consider, probably briefly, but not given as a promise, verse 13, where Paul says, who, that is the Father to whom he is referred in verse 12, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There is here a simply stated but very far-reaching truth that the Apostle Paul is establishing. God, our Father in heaven, has brought his people from the dark dominion of the devil into the glorious liberty of the Lordship of Christ. I want you to see that very clearly. Our Father has brought his people out of the dark dominion of the devil into the glorious liberty of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's the truth I want us to consider this morning, and as we pursue it, I'm going to keep it as simple and straightforward as possible. And I want to note three things about this work of salvation. First of all, we must emphasize something that could be very easily overlooked, and I think by many commentators, not by all, thankfully, but by many is overlooked, and that is that the first teaching of the text is that salvation is a divine work. Notice the emphasis on the very first word, who hath delivered us. Many are so keen to get to the delivering us, considering all that's implied in that statement, that they forget this important emphasis right at the beginning. Going back to verse 12, Paul says, giving thanks unto the Father, which or who hath made us meet, who hath, if I could quote a word from a Lutheran theologian, I think he made it up. There's no such word in English, but there should be for the sake of getting Paul's meaning here. Who hath sufficiented us. He has made us meet. He has made us sufficient. He has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The Father has done this. And now he says, who, that is, the Father, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath brought us, or translated us, into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It is a divine work. The testimony of Scripture here is very plain. Salvation is of the Lord, and that in all its parts. He is the one who planned it. He is the one who purchased it. He is the one who applies it. It is all of God. He is the sovereign God who from all eternity hath chosen Christ to be the covenant head of a redeemed people. He is the God of divine electing purpose who gave a people to Christ, chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. He is the God who in the fullness of time sent forth His Son to be the Redeemer of that people, who laid our sins on Jesus, who made a perfect atonement for us. He is the God who then effectually by His Spirit drew us unto Christ, having given us to Christ and given Christ to us in the fullness of time and of His purpose, has by His own sovereign gracious power brought us to a quickening by the Spirit unto a living faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. This is a divine work. Salvation, in all its parts, whether you look at it from an eternal perspective or from a temporal perspective, is all of God. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the day of God's working, and I might add, by the effect of His working, His people are willing. That's why you have the twin truths of the sovereignty of God, and yet the preaching that man wills to come to Christ. Otherwise he'll never come. He doesn't come against his will. He comes willingly. And that again is attributable to the sovereign grace of God. Spurgeon used to say that salvation is all of grace and damnation is all of sin. If people will not come, they have nothing and nobody to blame but their own wicked hearts and themselves. Why do they not come? Because they have no desire to come. And that's a guilty state in which they are. When they do come willingly, then they stand back in amazement and say, how great and good and gracious is our God. This is the work of God. You see, only God is able to deliver a soul from sin. Only God is able to justify. It is God who justifies, Paul tells us in Romans 8. Only God can free from condemnation. Only God can give the right to heaven. Only God can make a soul meet or fit or sufficient to have an inheritance in eternal light. Salvation is all the work of God. It's a work that requires nothing less than omnipotence. You remember how Paul makes this clear in Ephesians chapter 1. He sets before the Ephesians in his great prayer, and I will take the opportunity to do what I have done 100 times from this pulpit, and that is to recommend that you go and you study that prayer, you memorize that prayer, you get on your knees and you pray through that prayer and keep on doing it until God, the Holy Spirit, weaves it into the very fabric of your being. Paul is praying that they might know 3 things. I'm not going to even quote the prayer, for if I do that, we're liable never to get back to Colossians 1. But The third thing that he prays for is that you might know the greatness of his power. Now, this great power of God that he wants these people to know, he tells them two things about it. First of all, it is the power by which God raised Christ from the dead. But secondly, it is the power by which they believe. I want you to see this very carefully, therefore, that it takes divine omnipotence and nothing less to bring a soul to Jesus Christ. No other power is capable of doing the work. Certainly there's no power in man. Does not Paul tell us in the 5th chapter of Romans of the natural state of the sinner? He says, we were yet without strength. Now that doesn't mean we were weak. That means we were strengthless. You may have weakness and yet some strength. He's talking about the entire, absolute absence of strength. We were without strength. So there's no power in man. The awful thing about the fall of man into sin is that when Adam fell, and with him the whole race fell, there was no recuperative of power left in human nature. There was nothing in the will of man, unregenerated, to desire God. That's why Romans 3 says, there is none that desires him. There is none that seeks after God. There's no recuperative power in man. So if there's ever to be salvation, it can't come from yourself, nor can it come from any other man. And this is the craziness of people of every sort of religion who are running around the world to this guru and that guru, to this philosopher and that philosopher, to this thinker and that thinker, trying from them to obtain the light of life. As if they have the secret. They don't. And if they did, they couldn't impart it to you anyway. Only God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.